Fred Film Radio, Tribeca Film Festival, New York City.
This is Fred Film Radio. I'm Samantha Sartori at Tribeca Film Festival 2019. And today we are here with the director of 2-1, Juan Cabral. Good morning, Juan, and thank you for being with us today.
Hi, thank you so much for listening to this.
You reach fame as an advertisement director. 2-1 is your first feature film, and it was selected in one of the most prestigious sections of Tribeca Film Festival. What brings you to movies? Was something you had in mind since you started working in advertisement?
Well, the film obviously has a big relation with sleep, which I did like two or three commercials that are related to that. So obviously I have a big obsession. And I think we all do. I mean, it's crazy that every day, all around the world, every one of us go to sleep to this kind of weird place. And even last night I was going to sleep and I felt the pull of like feeling a bit scared of to go into the other place, you know, and it's kind of ridiculous that we don't fully, you know, talk about that mystery of life. And you know, that's one of the biggest premise of the film. And it plays with the subconscious and all these little details of life that they're all there, you know, like, you see even a lighter and the mysteries behind everything in this film. And there's all these clues on this kind of beautiful story that weave. And I think that, you know, hopefully the audience will connect with those details and nuances.
But you, like, is it something that you always want to do and you were waiting for the right story? Or is something that after doing a commercial and being more familiar with...
I started shooting pop promos. You know, I always wanted to shoot, I think. And then, obviously, I worked in advertising. I was writing commercials. Then I started to direct them. And then I realized that I really wanted to kind of do larger canvas. And I realized that I had, like, five things that I wrote. And for some reason, I didn't realize that it would need so much of me. And now I love that it put me through. Okay, realize to make a film is super... it's not that it's super complicated, but it really demands everything of you, and you have to stop and put everything you got in there. And it is like it was like a marathon for me. I hate running, and I don't understand people crying in marathon at the end. But when I finished editing this film, I was 3 months over time, and I went to my car and I started crying. I was like, "Oh fuck, that was my marathon," you know.
The editing of the movie, which takes place in two different countries at the same time, is astonishing. Did you have this structure in mind in the first place, or after writing the story, did you realize the potential to elaborate on this structure?
This film is like, there's two guys, one lives in Canada, is a ski jumper, then there's another guy that lives in Shanghai. When one goes to sleep, the other one wakes up. And when that guy then wakes up, goes to sleep, the other one wakes up. So you start to realize that, wow, maybe he's dreaming him, or him is dreaming that guy, or what if everything, you know, and what if these two guys met, you know, and eventually they meet, and I'm not going to get into the spoiler thing, but it's a very, I think, beautifully constructed, very simple, very kind of, you know, some of the commercials I should have more budget than the film that I've done. So it's super, super simple, but there's something hypnotic that you're in Shanghai for a while, and then suddenly you're in Canada, and you start to see echoes of things that happen between them. And that's what I mean about the conversation, that it is really an open film for the audience needs to play and fill the gaps. And that's the conversation. You know, there's books that I read that 6 months later I forget, but I love those books because something stays with me that goes beyond the story. And I think this film touches the subconscious, and I hope at the end you might have more questions than answers, but my God, that you're much more alive and maybe closer to a point of view in life.
Yes, but it is never confusing. That is the incredible thing, that is very complex, because you jump from Canada to China to Shanghai in like milliseconds, but it's never confusing. So it's like you can see all the work in the structure of the editing. You edited the film.
Yes, with Emiliano Ferdows and Neil, who came on set, you know, and did the kind of the basic kind of put everything together. We didn't want the film to be challenging. I think it's very accessible, but we worked so hard to making those transitions feel like jazz, you know, like, you know, and you're there and everything's kind of connected, and it's very visual. I'm obviously a very visual guy, even though I didn't have any trickery or steady cams or cranes or, you know, like, I didn't have any of that. I think it looks pretty amazing, you know.
It
was shot in 23 days, but, you know, you don't need to know any of that. You know, you go into a cinema to be entertained, and I think it does entertain you. It does make you think. It's different. You cannot put a genre on this film, you know, and I wanted to do something human and personal and traffic emotion, which is actually what I've been doing in commercials, and it is super different to everything, but not in a weird, I'm not trying to show off and go, hey, I'm a director with crazy ideas. It's very, very humble and genuine, nice story that makes you think.
It is striking how you move in and out of the dreams of your protagonists. It is pretty clear that you have a deep interest in the sleep as a place where we go without a seatbelt. How did your interest for sleep start? And when you had the idea to do this movie?
No, obviously I have a big obsession with dream, because you have to, you know, like there's moments when you're sleeping that everything feels so real. So real, and there's doesn't matter whether everything's kind of floating or you're in this kind of weird surreal landscape, you feel you're real until you wake up. And this happens to all of us. And even the other day, you know, when I was after the premiere, I was doing Q&A, everything was so exciting and alive and feeling like, oh, I hope I don't wake up now, you know, like, I hope this doesn't, you know, because it is like dreams really seduce you into convince you, you know, so that made me question, like, oh, what if our reality, and it's obviously that's something that is being things, all the cultures that we think, like, what is real and what is not, what if dreams is actually there are reality, and, you know, so it takes that in a very kind of down-to-earth way, you know, and both stories are equally real, you know, I didn't want to make one be the crazy one, because when you're under the logic of a dream, it's super super convincing, and even though we think that our lives are logical, actually everything looks and feels and everything is totally insane if you think about it. So, and it is scary, you know, it is a scary thought, and obviously I wanted to dig into that with this film without making it too philosophical or too scary, and there's stories that you can follow on the film that are interesting enough, but there's always this seeding of, you know, you see, as I say, like a lighter on the table, and you go, oh, the mystery is behind everything. and I think that triggers emotions in people when they watch the film.
Sunday, there was the world premiere of the movie at Tribeca, at SVA Theater. So how was their reaction?
For me, it was phenomenal that obviously when you have that communal experience of watching, you know, and especially if it's your film, and they're actually reacting to the moments that you were not sure about, or even, you know, the airport scene, which I'm not going to spoil that at all. It was a fantastical reaction, and there was laughter, and that was, you know, like eventually they meet, and it's never going to happen what anyone can think of that is going to happen. You know, that's the surprise of the film. Like, it's, I don't think anyone can say what actually is going to happen, and it's so simple and so ridiculous and hilarious, and people got it for the first time, and I thought it was beautiful. And this is out of, if you want, out of the thing, you know, this is first of all, I thought it was beautiful to see these two guys trying to connect desperately when obviously they should have connected before they made a trip to, you know, with the characters that, you know, from, you know, their love lives and everything. And they were there desperately trying to connect, maybe, you know, in the wrong way. And people were laughing. And that's what I feel of life. Like, actually, if you cut an atom forever, you'll never get to the answer. And that's the airport scene. It's a limbo, you know, it's like, and people were laughing. I thought, oh my God, finally, you know, because it was, that was the risk of the film, like, of making that scene work. And even though it's not really the heart of the film, it's the eye of the storm, you know.
Making a movie of this kind across the different countries using different languages is very challenging. Can you tell us more about this experience?
Yeah, it was, you know, I cast Boyd here, not far from here in Woodstock. We met, you know, he read the script. He really engaged with all these little nuances of the story, and we walked on the woods and we talked about life. It was a beautiful conversation. So we've been having conversations until he came to the snow, and he did some physical training to look like a ski jumper. He doesn't do any of that. I almost don't want to spoil that, because he's so convincing there. He was amazing. And Osley, you know, because he was in Narcos and on the Netflix show, and he was on Logan, you know, that made the film a little bit more, you know, able to go and make it happen. And then Song Yang, you know, I looked for a guy that had the same height as Boyd, but just with black hair. I didn't want a doppelganger thing that I think we've seen enough on films. And eventually they met in, you know, it's like Kai came all the way flying, and we met in a hotel room a little bit bigger than this one. And the first scene we blocked was on the airport. You know, like, we didn't talk because Song doesn't speak any English. I've been doing Skype calls with him with a translator, and he doesn't know how to, he didn't know how to play drums, so he took classes, you know, and that was beautiful from him. And we met and we blocked the scene, and we were the three of us, and there was a new language that came out of that. I was shooting with an iPhone, just trying to make it work, and it was wonderful because I knew, okay, this is going to work. And then obviously on set, Song Yan, even though there was a translator, we really got along with her eyes, and he got, you know, what I wanted from the character, and he was very good at making that very lonely, almost robotic, you know, but also there is a darker side to him that is kind of almost perverse, and he's dealing with all that, you know, and, you know, he maybe is in a society that doesn't allow him to, you know, that's why he's the way he is. And Boyd brought his own thing to the character that is a bit more of a mess and more of a loner in the woods. And then the girls were amazing, both of them, Dominique, you know, and Juju. And I'm so grateful for the cast too. I'm so glad that they helped to make a film that has pretty much no genre. It's very unique, but not in a weird, fancy, hey, I'm here, look at me. You know, it's like, it's just a normal film that actually is filled with a lot of emotions and something that maybe we're not used to watching and seeing or talking about. And thank you for allowing me to talk about the film.
One of the most astonishing parts of the movie is the photography, which is like very homogeneous in the two different countries, in the two different continents. It's very, very difficult to keep the same level of images in movies where you show different kind of continent. How did you work on this kind of images?
We have a very simple approach to the photography. I work with Larry. I worked with him, Larry Smith. I worked with him in a commercial years ago. And there was this commercial that actually really pushed the client to allow us to experiment. It's like almost like a short film. It was, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. But, you know, Larry Smith, he did all his career with Kubrick, you know, and, you know, from Barry Lyndon as a gaffer until, you know, Eyes Wide Shut, you know, and obviously he worked in Bronson, films that I really, you know. So we did this film in a day, and we approached it, you know. I was scared when I met him, like, oh, you know, I don't want to even ask him stories because I'm obviously a fan and all of that. But it was so natural how we worked, and we did amazing that day, and with natural light, just simple photography, and we did it only that day, and it was. And then I remember we were in Chile, we were having a glass of wine. I said, like, hey, if I have a film, would you mind? I sent him a script a few years later, and we were in the snow, and I said, like, look, the snow is equally as lonely as the most populated city in the world, which is Shanghai, and we agreed, okay, if we like it on the eye, it's good. And it was the same feeling, like just simplicity, you know, like, as I said, like we had static shots, dolly or, you know, handheld. And instantly we connected and we've tried to find these kind of weird kind of angles without being kind of tricksy. And I do agree, I'm super happy about the photography and how it is like a yin yang of, you know, some visual poetry that is just simple and elegant.
Thanks a lot to Juan Cabral for being with us today. Good luck for the movie. I'm Samantha Sartori from Tribeca Film Festival 2019, New York, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.